Okay being scribed today? Okay.
Yep. Thanks, Jeff.
This is the ORAN Software Community TOC meeting for July 8th, 2020. Farhina's our scribe for the day, and she's turned on recording. If anyone has any issues, they can raise a concern. If not, we'll continue. Our first order of business is to do roll call. I'm Jack Murray from AT&T. Jinri?
Yes, good morning, Jack.
Hi. David?
Hi, this is David.
John Paul?
Morning, Jack. John Paul here.
Masafumi-san?
Yes, hi, Jack and everyone. This is Masafumi from Docomo.
Huha?
Yes, good morning, Huha is here.
William? Okay, Ganesh?
Morning, Jack. This is Ganesh. Hi, everyone.
And Vishwa. All right, so we have enough to have quorum, so we'll continue with the meeting. Next order of business is to cover minutes from the previous meeting. With that, we're reviewing the minutes from the meeting of July 1st, 2020. Here are the minutes taken. There's a recording people can listen to. Is there anyone that has any questions, corrections, or concerns that they want to raise before we move forward? All right, so then can I have a motion to accept the minutes?
All right, this is David.
Yeah, I can make a motion. Okay, got David first.
David, thank you. Second?
Yeah, I can second.
All right, thanks, Jinri. All those in favor say aye.
Who's gonna say aye?
Masafumi saying aye.
You are saying aye.
John Paul says aye.
Those against say nay. Okay, thank you for approving the minutes from the July 1st meeting. We'll go back up to our July 8th. Okay, so the question is today's agenda. Does anyone have any additions? I know Lu Jing added, sent out an email. He has some topics for us to discuss. So we'll cover them during the during his section. Does anyone else have any items they'd like to raise at this time? All right. Jinri, so let's move on, actually. So then, does anyone have any votes or approval items to bring forward at this time? Okay, then we'll move to copyright updates. Jinri, was the copyright policy approved by the board and ready to be posted for the OSC, for ORAN?
So Jack, to be honest, I didn't recall. I mean, during the board meeting, our copyright issue was discussed. Part of the reason is that I believe they have already approved this by email before the board meeting. The only thing that we did not receive the official notification from EZ Zimelec. But I believe it has been approved. So let me check with Simon right now.
Yeah.
I left message last time, but I didn't get the feedback. Okay, let me choose him now.
Thank you, Henry. That's if once we get the official notification, we'll post it. As
okay. Part of the... I will send him the message right now.
Okay.
Give me a moment. Thank you.
As far as I know, the copyright issues with 3GPP are still being actively worked with the standards focus group. Let's see, that will bring us to the marketing section. So that people can, you know, the press release went out after the board meeting. It's been a little bit, I don't know if anyone has any comments, but the, but it came out, it's available in several of the outlets. Well, Farheen, did we post it yet on our website?
Jack, I'm in the process of doing that today.
So okay. Should be there. Good. All right. Of course, the virtual exhibition is on the ORAN website for anyone that has not visited. You should go and take a look at what people are posting there. That's part of the ORAN Alliance. Need to get clarification. There's been some question about, you know, logo. Should we use the ORAN logo? I'll get clarification on that at the next meeting. LF Insights. Okay, for people who aren't, who haven't, there is from Linux Foundation, they have launched an insight page for our project. We'll post a link to this in the software section. It's still listed as beta. They're doing a new software release here within the next 2 weeks. Once we kind of see that it's somewhat stable, we'll go ahead and move off of beta. The information looks credible, but if the information for your specific project doesn't make sense, please let us know. Basically, the summary here kind of gives you an overview of what's going on. Just remember to look at the date range up in the left for how what analytics you're looking at over a period of this time. So you can so things do change when you look at the boundary of certain contributions, especially since some of the contributions are kind of happen all at one time. So you have to take a look through that. Right now, these contributions are kind of driven by commits. So if you notice, they're organized by commits, not by lines of code. That's being updated. And be careful, lines changed isn't the same as lines added. There will be some updated statistics you can get on those looking at the different areas. So they're continuing to improve the site. You might see at one time that, and this is one of the things that they struggle with, is there might be some unknowns, meaning there's a contributor who's not associated with a company, Linux Foundation is working to address that best that they can, but at the same time, some contributors use a different or get associated to a different corporate name than others. So it may change. Linux Foundation would prefer to use the same name for everybody from that corporation. Otherwise, it gets, the statistics kind of get spread out between a lot of similar or subdivisions of the same company. So it's available. Please take a look. That's what, going forward, all our kind of metrics we report will come off of that site, so that it is consistent reporting of data.
And Jack, if we have some feedback on some of the aspects of that, is it contact Trishan to provide that back to the Insights team?
Yes.
Yeah, you can send me a note, or go to the support ticket, you can submit a ticket under DA issue directly to the team as well.
Oh, okay, directly from the Insights page, Trishan.
Go to support.linuxfoundation.org.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. So, open items. I think we were supposed to check the progress of making the virtual exhibition public. Jinri, it's all open to the public at this point, right?
Yeah, check. Yeah, by the way, my audio is back. The virtual exhibition is public, and I actually had sent the link on the chat window last week, but I can resend this link via email.
All right. And in Farheen, that link should be part of our website as well.
Okay, Jack, we'll add it.
Not last week, it's 2 weeks ago. Yeah, last week I was absent. I just recall.
Probably somewhere here, Farheen, under the software community. Down here, just add something about
the virtual exhibition.
Yes.
I will.
Thank you. All right. We're down to the standing agenda. All right, Cherry. All right. So there's a bronze release. that we're working against. We only have a couple more weeks on the bronze maintenance release. Does anyone have any items or discussion on topics that might be updated as part of the bronze release, maintenance release?
Please go ahead, Rick.
Just quickly. We're waiting for, I think, the Samsung's KPI Mon image to be included so that we can, that was one of the items that we wanted to close on for maintenance release. I don't know whether that's completed or it's still going on, and I think we need to close that out quickly. I don't know if Samsung is on the call or not, but we have really literally, I think, 2 weeks maybe, or 2 to 3 weeks left. And then the other item is the Intel DU testing. So that's also going on. I think we're cutting it close, but we have some dependencies that need to be finished. And maybe, I don't know, Lusheng or Mati can provide a quick overview of where we are with that a little bit later. Yeah.
Jack, John here as well. And for non-real-time, Rick, we have a very small change that we want to add to be able to support dynamic deployment of security certs for secure HTTP for the A1 interface. But it's a very small change, doesn't affect anything else.
Okay. And is that on track to be available in this window?
Yes, it's already fully working. It was quite a small change, so we got it in just a few days after the bronze release, but we just didn't make the bronze release deadline.
Okay. What about any Jira defects or anything that people are working to address in the software? It's an opportunity to do that as well. All right. Now, but for the Cherry release, we're rapidly approaching, closing on our plan for the Cherry release. And so we only have a few more weeks as well to close on what people, want to focus on in the Cherry release. So there's a couple of topics to be discussed. Ritwik, do you want to give us an update on the requirements and software?
Yeah, just quickly, I think from last week, we were discussing about these LCM call flows. So David Kinsey has drafted some of those call flows on the RStack wiki. He's also discussed it with other folks. So I think that was the end-to-end and the third end-to-end use case, if you like, that's documented now. Everything else is kind of in the spreadsheet. The discussion about having a small project or things like that, that is still TBD because, I think the talk needs to discuss whether we'll have a small project and what is included, what is excluded. That is not in the Cherry requirements. So I think I'd request the talk to kind of, if that is urgent, bring that in as a project who can work the third end-to-end use case. So that is one suggestion David and I were thinking that since now those LCM workflow is now documented, which requires to a greater extent the small activities, if the talk is going to decide on a small project, they should do it quickly. And maybe nominate a small PTL so that they can work, understand these flows and pull resources in so that we can make that work complete for Cherry. I think the flows are there, but it's still a little ambiguous as to who is actually implementing the small. If you think, Jack, and the talk, if the OEM project is in charge of implementing all the small flows, then it should be stated here in this meeting. And then we will work accordingly with that guidance. If you think that the small project needs to be created along with the PTL and resources, then that should be discussed and moved forward. Because, you have to onboard the lifecycle management requires a lot of entities outside the non-real-time RIC, which is not in our non-RTDIC, but it is in the scope of the SMO. And from an implementation perspective, we need to kind of concretely decide who is actually implementing the SMO. Where is the division line of responsibility of the SMO versus the non-RTDIC? It's okay from a specification standpoint to be a little vague about it, but for any come to implementation, you have to kind of dedicate resource and time and tasks. So I think that's our guidance. David and I felt like we wanted to provide that input to you guys so that you guys can decide whether you indeed need a small project. And so the third end-to-end use case is kind of done. I think we're just socializing it. Apart from that, the other two use cases are still there, the health check use case and the traffic steering use case, which we will continue to make progress in the bronze release. That's the input, Jack. I hope that helps a little.
Okay. So let's talk about things in more general. Is there any topics people want to bring up that that they want to address in Cherry that's not being addressed? Does anyone have any items to raise?
And Jack, this is Tracy, and we talked about this briefly. I don't know if it makes sense, but do we want to consider the 01 interface specification from ORAN a de facto requirement? There are several 3GPP aligned management services that various operators are starting to realize, whether it's pre-production or a field trial. And I think it would be valuable to formalize it if it makes sense. Right now we've done some informal cross-pollination from ORAN to ORAN software community with software management, which is one example, but that's just one of several examples in the 01 specification. And right now I think we have release 3, and release 4 is coming out in September, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Does anybody have any, that we have a topic on the table about making 01 a formal requirement across the ORAN software community modules? Did I summarize that right, Tracy?
Yes, and it might be more manageable to subdivide it into each of the 3GPP aligned management services, like software management, PNF plug and play, bulk performance management data, etc.
Okay. Anyone have any, comments, discussion?
So some of these 01, 02 related aspects has been documented in this third end-to-end use cases. Obviously, it does not capture everything on FCAPS as well as lifecycle management. So partial aspects of those are in that end-to-end use case. But again, I guess we go back to, if you want to, since the 01, the 02 spec is not out yet, the implementation in Cherry will be pre-release, pre-spec. And while the 02 team in ORAN Alliance figures out the actual flow, we can take an attempt in OSC to implement pre-spec version of O2 as best as we can figure out right now from our discussions in ORAN line. And then nudge it in Dawn release to make it complete.
Yeah, and in fact, the ask is very much on that, because there's a lot of things that aren't known, to figure out what are the actual complete end-to-end steps that need to occur, and therefore what's the interface, especially in terms of image management and Helm, like the Helm charts, and do we have to actually have an interface to install the Helm chart? Does it go as part of the image? What is the mechanism for that transfer in order to actually enable the request to come in to deploy? What's the pre-setup we have to do with the OCloud before we can do that? So the ask is to explore that flow prior to the O2 coming out in the November time or December time frame, so that we can feed that process in and make sure that we have a workable O2 spec that's going to be released out in the December time frame.
Okay, so you both of you seem to be fast forwarding to O2, which is perfectly fine. Does that mean your conclusion is we're all set with 01?
No. No, okay. I sort of agree with what you were saying, Tracy, in that it would be a nice thing to know for each device which 01 MNSs are actually supported by that device, and have that as a scorecard.
Right, and have a start making it easier for compliance to be demonstrated. Yeah, we're nowhere near the point where we're going to automate any, automate any testing end to end, but start heading in that direction.
Well, it's not just that showing compliance. I think that's what you say is true, but it's also ease of management. If we have the O1 interface, then we can standardize a lot of the management. The same goals that we're saying creating the O1 for, we can leverage.
Totally agree.
So what components would be an early target for that O1 implementation at this point, based on where we are with the in the software community?
I think this people on this call need to discuss that, but maybe a way to organize things is just, look at the table of content for the O1 specification that's available now, and that's release 3, and then create a JIRA ticket for each of the 3GPP aligned management services, and then, the different project teams will figure out the impacts. I think a lot of the impacts are clearly OANM, but not entirely.
Okay.
The Martin, yeah, the only issue is, from my point of view, that the O1 interface specification.
Who's speaking?
It's Martin. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Martin.
Oh, okay.
So the only issue I see here is that we depend on the 3GPP young models, which should have been updated lately last month. They are not available yet, these updates. I assume that they will come up soon. But even if we have them, it's still, for me, not 100% clear if we are allowed to use them in open source. And this is my main concern here for O1 3GPP interface specification. It's more a license issue than an implementation issue, at least from my point of view.
Jack, I thought you started the call, not the first thing you mentioned, but that addressing these licensing issues was still a work in progress. We probably need to go back to the, I don't know, Jack or Jenny, would you take that back to the ORAN?
Yes.
TFC or executive committee?
So we have clear, and Jenry will verify that the vote was finished, but it's clear that the ORAN board has approved the ORAN software community to use any of the copyright material that we need to build and document software based on the ORAN specifications, right? The only thing they don't want us to do is copy over the whole specification or whole chapters, right? We don't need to do that in software. We're just going to use any of the tables, figures, messages that need to be, displayed in the software. So we've cleared that hurdle, and we'll have the official answer from Zivinek here in a minute. But Jinri and I both have seen the emails pass, and that got passed, and we'll post that. But as Martin raised, the 3GPP ones are being worked by the standards focus group. And I see it on their working agenda, and they said they don't expect any problems, but it hasn't occurred yet, and I'm worried that we get into, we're getting into the summer months where things typically slow down. So it is a concern, but we need to move forward, right? We only really get 2 releases a year, and so we really should look to have it on the goals, in my opinion, and if we get blocked, then we escalate it as a block, and that maybe is the pressure we need to get it to move. But I think I firmly believe that O1 and eventually O2 are very important interfaces, and that the sooner each component can work towards compliance on them, the better off we are. So the ODU, the OCU, for example, components really would, be benefit to begin the, support of those interfaces. How complete they are, obviously, it depends on the functionality as the functionality increases in some of those modules, I would expect to see improved support for them. So does anyone have any concerns with, Tracy, if I can be liberal, Tracy, I'm going to say that you made a motion to, require O1 support, by all modules in OSC where it's relevant as part of, the software work going forward. Obviously, just not in a motion, but in a description, obviously it relates to how much functionality each module has, right? They can't implement functionality that the module hasn't matured in. But I think that's what your motion would be, to make O1 and a required interface for all relevant modules in the ORAN software community. Is that paraphrased?
To realize each of the 3GPP aligned management services within the O1 interface specification insofar as possible, because we do have these potential blockers within OSC Cherry.
Okay.
And some of the work has been going on, but it was never formalized.
All right.
And in parallel, if we would need to have a little discussion with the standards development focus group, I could probably set that up with Brian and I'm going to tweet. I'm going to mispronounce the co-chair from China Mobile's name, so I won't even say it until I learn how to say it.
Okay.
And see where we stand with that, because this has been an open issue.
Tracy, it's Xiaofei.
Ah, okay, thank you. Xiaofei.
Yeah, Xiaofei, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he replaced the Chunfeng, yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I was on mute just now.
Okay, good.
It took me 10 seconds to unmute.
Okay, so do I have a TOC member who will second that motion?
Yeah, I can second. I think this makes great sense. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so now we have a motion on the floor. Any comment from TOC members or questions before we move to a vote?
Just a comment or a question maybe, Jack. Will this affect the test environment in OSC as well? I'm thinking maybe here about the emulators. So Viavi's solution, will they have to look to adapt parts of the O1 interface into the emulators?
I think where relevant, I think what we're really trying to accomplish by this is get people to move forward with implementation of these release specifications. Mm-hmm. Some parts of O1 may not be as relevant for the simulators, mm-hmm. Depending on, what goal is being tested, but I believe that's eventually, the simulators will have to support, all the interfaces to the appropriate level.
Sure. So I guess that comment applies, as you say, that it depends on which part of the O1 interface is relevant. Should we use, or will we use, the use cases that we have there, the three sets of use cases, the traffic steering, the lifecycle management, will we use those use cases to drive which parts of the O1 interface should be implemented in OSC, in Cherry and Dawn and so on?
Correct. And so that should be why those use cases should be expanded, mm-hmm. to address those kinds of parts, to drive the parts that are relevant at each stage of the software community, right?
That will be done, I guess, obviously through ORSAC as the main driver for that, when we start to break those use cases down into more sequence type diagrams and sequence type actions, we can see which parts of the O1 interface are required for those.
Yes. So does that make sense, Rick and Dave?
Yeah, it's just that I think we've separated the onboarding and lifecycle management off O1 with an example, a Hello World example, or RF, if you like. I don't think we tied it directly to the traffic steering XApps, KPI, you know, the QPX apps and TSX apps, but it can be. I mean, same procedure applies to all XApps and RFs, I would say, right?
The issue is the use cases drive testing. So if there are, I mean, the modules, software modules are going to implement, you know, functionality that they need, but the testing and the compliance in a particular release needs to be, you know, highlighted by the goal of kind of the end-to-end use cases so that the integration and test team would know to even test this functionality and expect, you know, software modules to do that. So even though we're making it a requirement, what gets implemented in what release still would be at some level coupled to the use cases that they're going to be, you know, tested against and scored against. You know, so the encouragement is to implement the full interface, but at the timing will be influenced by the use cases. So, you know, this may mean that, you know, to exercise each of the three sub areas that we may want to expand a use case in, you know, in the use case flows so that people understand what stage we're, what functionality we're looking at in what stage. Does that make sense, Jason?
Oh, I was on mute. Yes. Yeah.
Doesn't have to be all exhausting, but at least, you know, because OAM flows can be tedious at times, right? But at least the general functionality. Okay. Anyone else have any questions or comments?
So, Jack, what is your guidance? The talk's guidance on the small question aspect.
We'll get to that next. But there's a motion on the floor. I'm just trying to get a vote through here, Rick. Then we'll come back to that. Any other questions before we hold a vote? Okay. So there's a vote on the, you know, in front of us for approving, you know, the requirement to support O1, you know, the standard O1 interface and the software moving forward, driven by use cases, the selected use cases in the ORAN software community, and we'll develop a scorecard, you know, how we're moving forward against that. All those in favor, say aye.
This is John Paul saying aye.
David saying aye.
You want to say aye?
Anyone against say nay? Okay. We've approved that motion. Farhan, we need to record that motion and make sure we get it as part of the, Ritwick, actually, in the requirements committee, we need to make sure that we record that as a voted, you know, item going forward so that people don't forget that we have that as a focus. Okay?
It's been recorded and it's in the documentation, yes.
Okay, thank you. All right. The next topic really that Ritwick has asked us to discuss is the SMO for people who are not, I don't know if everyone is familiar with the service management and orchestration component, you know, in ORAN Alliance, you know, the SMO, at least in my humble opinion, is kind of a functional entity that ORAN doesn't want to overly specify. It's really up to implementation, but yet it contains several key functions that are being specified, like the non-real-time RIC really is a functional block that would fit in this logical SMOLE. And there is some diagrams here as part of our documentation. But as we, you know, my belief is as we move forward as a community to, you know, implement and realize what we need to do, we need software as also a tool and as a demonstration and as a unification piece around how the whole system will be pulled together, operated, tested, demonstrated, and to support, you know, downstream activities. And so, you know, from my standpoint, I believe that that we need to create a SMO project to collect this functionality and pull together the bigger system into, you know, a functional demonstration. I don't know that we'll ever have the intent isn't a commercializable SMO, but to pull together, you know, the basic blocks to achieve the functionality so that we have it available. I don't know if people are familiar enough with the SMO, but for other things are lifecycle management. There is items on the data management like data bus and data movement, which things like the RApps will need. There's discussions about RApps and an R interface to them. There's a number of items that will, I think, in the future come forward in this space. So the first step kind of today that I'm raising is there a consensus that we need to create a working project to pull all these pieces together? I don't think it's fair to say that the OEM project's bounds is all of this, right? The SMO obviously would do a lot of work with the OEM, the non-real-time RIC, and other components that as we move forward. But, you know, the A1, the O1, eventually the RApps, the data handling, the AI, machine learning, all of these topics that will come relevant will need this higher entity to make at least some implementational decisions to pull these pieces together to demonstrate how it will work. All right, so I spent my time on the soapbox. I'll open the floor. Does anyone have any questions or thoughts about the reality of needing of adding a SMO project?
Jack, I have one question. Excuse me if this thought is not very mature, just put out of my mind. So as you said, currently in ORAN Alliance, there is no working group defining this or specifying this SMO, right? But if we set up this project in our software community, how can we ensure that the working scope in our project will not cross, for example, the working scope defined in by working group 2? I know in either working group 2 or ONM task group under working group 1. I know that in working group 2, they also have one study item regarding this non-real-time RIC architecture. Somehow, I'm not very familiar with that, but I believe that there should be some relationship between this non-real-time RIC architecture and O&M, and as well as this small. So I'm just not sure, I mean, if their distinction is not very clear, then when we set up this project, how can we ensure that there is no overlapping? So this, the property, this is not material. So forgive me. Well, this is my concern.
Well, I mean, an implementation is an implementation, right? It has to look at specifications and leverage them to make decision. You know, then the implementation team will make decisions about, you know, how to create the functions necessary to drive the use cases, right? So obviously use cases like the lifecycle management would be driving what the project would focus on. Now, in terms of supporting non-real-time RIC and A1 and O1 and OEM and other things that are specified, I don't think there's any compliance issue because there is discussion of a SMO in, you know, the overall architecture. Correct, Rick and Dave?
There is, but to Jinri's answer, right, I think the working group 2 specifies the A1 spec as completely as possible. Yeah. And if there are requirements for the SMO, they highlight those requirements and leave it at that. They're not defining the functional architecture of what goes in the SMO and what goes in the outside the SMO. I think that's the standpoint of the co-chairs of working group 2. But when you come to OSC, you necessarily need, this is my biased opinion, that you need a SMO project to pull together all those items that are reflected as requirements from working group 2, such as a catalog that you need, such as the data movement that you need. All of these things are tangible software components that no one is, you know, implementing, and so you need to put that somewhere, right? Hence the need for it. In the specification, you can, I think Gil calls it implementation variability, but there's a lot of stuff that is embedded in that implementation variability, and someone needs to specify what is what and who is what interfaces are they speaking on, right? That's why I think the justification for SMO is critical. I agree with Jack that OIM project completely does not solve the small aspects. I think it goes beyond it. Some aspects they will touch, but there's a lot more to small, like the catalog and the DMAP and all of that stuff that needs to be reflected in the small project. I hope that helps.
I think there's definitely a gap. I mean, certainly there's a gap that needs to be filled. I guess the question is, how to organize ourselves logistically to fill the gap. If there's a SMO project, I would think that project would have to have some sort of overall architecture role to decide how the pieces that are part of the SMO would be implemented. What is the non-real-time RIC in the SMO? Is it a separate component, or is it a set of functionality that's sprinkled throughout the SMO? How would OANM be implemented? So I think we definitely need to fill the gap, and a SMO project would probably be a good way to do that. But we need to discuss how that project would relate to the existing projects, the non-real-time RIC and the OANM project.
Right. Yeah, if I could maybe make a comment here, please. We currently are working under the standing assumption that we're still using ONAP as the basis for the SMO. So we already have an SMO. There are gaps. There are very clear gaps. Like, for instance, there is a need for an ORAP coordination function and catalog and the parts of the R1 interface that would expose. That's definitely within the scope of non-real-time RIC. We need an XAP catalog. Currently, there's work going on in ONAP around this, but currently one place that could be is in DCE, already under development. There's a need for an XAP LCM interface, which would be similar to a pre-O2 interface, or should be O2, but that's already exists in the near real-time RIC platform. we need an ML model catalog, but that's been worked on in ACMOS as one example. We need some kind of a generic app catalog and an inventory. That should be handled by ANAI in ONAP, but again, it's not yet supported and there's work needed there. We need data collection, which is, we've already proposed some work around data collection in the DDC function. Again, that's parts of that are currently being developed in ONAP and parts of it are still at the planning stage. We also need a configuration database, but again, work is ongoing on that in ConfigDB and Configuration Persistency Service in ONAP. We cannot, I think, allow ourselves to drift into a situation where we are proposing duplicated or divergent ONAP functionality being developed here in OSC when it should be developed in ONAP. We've already hit huge problems with this in the non-real-time RIC project around the A1 controller. The A1 controller itself is a very, very, very small function, at least the parts of it that deal with the A1 termination. And yet we have wasted months of our time in just trying to repair the duplication of work and divergence that has happened on just this one function between ONAP and OSC. If we look at the need for an SMO as a purely integration task, we already have an integration project. And you know, Lu Sheng and team are doing fantastic effort there. And also in OTF as a driver for integration activities. So the only thing that's really left are a couple of small functions that are missing that aren't currently being planned for ONAP. But a lot of work is already happening in ONAP to address these gaps. Other than that, all that's left are some solo runs of diverging functionality away from ONAP, which I don't think we can allow.
Yeah, John, I agree with what you're saying. The thing is, with what we're going to be demonstrating and things like that, is really the requirement flow, and from that there can be requirements to ONAP. But until you know exactly what it needs to be done, then we would be spinning their wheels, and we would have to wait on their timeline to before we could even begin to integrate it back in. So there has to be a mechanism where we can provide that minimal code that closes the gaps and makes some of these choices on the SMO implementation, so that we can actually demonstrate functionality that's supposed to be inherent to the elements. Specifically, like in lifecycle management, the notion of managing the state of the applications, XApp or RApp. I'm not sure we need two catalogs. That's the part that we're exploring. Are they two catalogs or is there just one? Okay. The other aspect is there are certain things in when we go to deploy an XApp over the O2 interface, is that ONAP doesn't support deploying using a VNF that they deployed as a platform for deploying additional software. This is a new concept that they would have to be able to address. They don't currently, ONAP assumes that a cloud region, as a hosting platform, it only exists in one and only one location, whereas the OCloud is a distributed cloud supporting multiple locations. They assume only one interface type to that platform, okay? Whereas in ORAN, we may be not just Heat, but we might be Helm, we might be Tosca. We can be differing types of artifacts that are used. And that ripples through ONAP, not just down at the multi-VIM, but actually all the way up through the service design layer. And so there are some very systemic changes that would have to be done in ONAP in order for us just to take it carte blanche as an SMO. So ONAP is an intended SMO, but I would not say that it is a compliant SMO by any means.
And I would add to that list one other item, and that's the federation. The whole idea that a single ONAP, the whole instance issue of non-real-time RICs, which have to perhaps be at least regional, right? There is a large list of things, I think is your point, David, that ONAP needs to fill. And it's not clear that the priorities that ONAP project would have, the community would have, would align with our priorities in terms of the order in which they must be filled.
Okay, if I could just very briefly come back on a couple of those comments. One is I understand there are many, many, many things missing in ONAP, but we have nothing in OSC. So I think
we do pick and choose, and we fill the gap with just enough to fill the void, and then potentially that will either create something that's reusable by ONAP or OSM. Because I would hope what we develop is not necessarily ONAP specific, but it could feed requirements to ONAP and as a project saying, well, if you want to be ORAN compliant, then this are the aspects that you must address in your project scope. So we can give clear and concise requirements to a project in ONAP to become compliant. And that may eliminate the need for us to maintain the code in OSC, and that's a potential eventuality. But we're not talking about building a whole SMO. We're talking about building little parts of it where there's a gap that will get us through the demonstration. It's only enough to be able to demonstrate the capability. It's not to build a whole SMO like ONAP. But that's clearly not our intent.
David, that's an excellent point. The focus, I think, is SMO componentry, not necessarily the SMO project.
That's a good point. That's a good way of looking at it.
Well, I would, I think you're hitting on key points, right? There are SMO components, there's SMO, integration. The purpose of the project would be, to integrate as much upstream components, right? I think this is one of the problems challenges we have with ONAP is ONAP upstream of us or downstream of us, and how do we comply with ORAN work when, frankly, ONAP doesn't, we have no real influence over ONAP at all, right?
Sorry, Jack, just on that, if I could just interject there for one second. We do have influence over ONAP. We are ONAP as well. We're
John,
the same people.
Sorry. No, same people, different. This is an entity. OSC is what I'm talking about. OSC does not have any influence over ONAP, right? They have their own TSC that drives their decisions, right? The TOC can have a vote, but it's not binding on anything that goes there, right? I'm not trying to say it's good or bad. I'm just mentioning facts, right? So the TOC here can't make binding resolutions on ONAP, right? So it's just a matter of course. Now, if we specify an SMO project and to meet that, this is the guidelines that we have. To me, that's the way that we would send guidance to ONAP that their upstream components would match the needs of what we see downstream. I don't intend to rebuild the components, but how they're in ONAP has a lot of components and how they're integrated into something that meets, the specific needs of the OSC community is a subset, wouldn't even include everything that would go into a production version of SMO ONAP that someone would eventually deploy, right? But how do we as a TOC, set guidelines that, drive a direction without, some work and some integration of components into a manifestation, right? There are things that ONAP may choose to do or not to do that, you know, the ORAN community doesn't, might not meet the ORAN community, but there's no mechanism to, for us to render judgment on any of that, right? They're a separate entity. So, you know, is ONAP upstream or downstream? I'll tell you that in my view, ONAP is a critical upstream project. It is not a downstream project from OSC. I mean, people can view it different ways, but that's how at least I personally view it and approach it, right? And I've been involved in ONAP, you know, in the past, but it's an extremely important, but there may be pieces here that ONAP isn't going to address. I don't, you know, but in some entity, we need to pull things to, we need to pull together an overall solution. But we've consumed our time for this week. I'm not going to, you know, make a motion, but this is what I wanted, at least, is a good, rich discussion. We'll have more time over the next week to think about it. And if someone wants to put things on the email, and then we'll bring it back up for a topic, you know, for next week and see if we can continue to, but I'm interested from just, other TOC members to think, hear what they think.
So Jack, do you need a proposal as to what the scope is, or what would you like?
Richard, that is actually what I want to suggest. I mean, if we can have one to two slides with a description of the problem statement, right, the situation, the project, the working scope, and even the relationship with ONAP, just something like this, including the relationship with like ONAP task group and the working group one and working group two. I mean, that will help us to get the internal reviewing feedback, right? And we can come back next week.
Sure.
I think, like we said earlier, I think it would be good to see the use cases. So if we talk lifecycle management, can we see the lifecycle management use cases of XApps and ORApps, see which components within ONAP meet those requirements today and where the gaps are, at least so that we can understand what gaps we're filling in OSC for those particular use cases. So it's very specific.
Yeah. Okay, we can create that, those two slides and the proposal.
And just one other thing, in that aspect, then we need to also consider the ongoing work that's happening in ONAP for each of those activities as well, because you know we need to be aligned. You know, there's no point in us proposing something and starting work on it if there's already work in progress in ONAP.
No, these are good points. This is not going to be easy, but the issue for me is more or less this isn't. This might be more of an integration project, but it's not really the intent of the software integration team to integrate a component like this that's, you know, that's has so many components external. That, you know, that team is not big enough to handle that topic. Even if nothing else, we manifested an instance of ONAP that we used for our testing, and you only pulled in the relevant components, that I think is still very useful to this community. And that's what, you know, we could demonstrate as a functional SMO to meet our needs. Even if we wrote no code, just parsing down a functional version of ONAP that would do what we want, I think is a major project. I'm want to be very clear. I have had multiple experiences at trying to build something out of ONAP that works for particular needs. It's not an easy task. So even having a version of ONAP that demonstrates the SMO capability built out of ONAP and usable for our purposes, I think would be a huge gain to this community. Even if we develop not even one piece of code, because that is not an easy thing to do. I don't know if anyone has ever tried to build a functional ONAP version here and run it outside of the pre-canned things that, you know, are done as part of the test group, but almost all those pre-canned scripts have a lot of hard-coded things in them that make it very hard to build a variant of exactly what you need for this space. So some of the challenges for us to talk about. All right, Ritwik, you guys can pull something together. We'll have more of a discussion, but I agree the intent is not to recreate any piece of software that we can use from any, you know, useful upstream community, being ONAP or not ONAP. And the question is there an Etsy or other form of SMO project as well? Should the project have two paths, one ONAP based and one non-ONAP based? Is there enough interest in the community for someone to look at those aspects? These are the, you know, a slightly different variant on that discussion. So, but as a community, we owe that discussion to the people who are part of that community to make sure that we listen if there is other people who want a non-ONAP version. So let's have that discussion, and we'll continue that next week. We're a little over. I know that Lijing had a number of topics to cover. We haven't been getting down to his topics. There are some things that we're going to propose to improve our best practices. One was around JIRA, one was about licensing, and the third one was about, what was it, Lijing?
License scan and semantic versioning. Now, in light of, in the grand scheme of things, is it possible, for example, to move this TOC vote to email votes?
Sure.
So we
can, you know, if people are comfortable, but do you want to give a very quick summary of the three?
Sure. So dear TOC members, I send out an email with all the details to the TOC mailing list. Basically, these are the things, really their process things and best practice things that we touched upon during the bronze. We have pushed any decision forward till we said cherry release. So for example, the first request is for requiring all Garrett code submissions to include JIRA issue ID references. This was discussed during the bronze release, and at the time, the action item was to request Linux Foundation to add a warning message to Garrett submissions that do not have JIRA references. So, and at the time we said that we're going to revisit and start to enforce this at the beginning of the cherry release. So now this is just bringing this issue back up. Having JIRA issue ID reference is a very convenient linkage between the JIRA system and the Garrett system. They can cross-finding each other. We find it very useful. One is for reviewer to understand the background for why this code submission is needed. Also for dev management, if you want to look at how a particular JIRA ticket is resolved, then you can identify all the Garrett code submissions right there on the JIRA ticket page. So that's vote request number one. Number two is for license attribution. Previously, TOC has been granting the use of non-Apache 2, but open source friendly licensed code inside of the OSC code repos. The TOC has been grant permission of those uses on a case-by-case basis. Following the Steve, who is the Linux Foundation's attorney, their suggestion, we probably should adopt a grant for all the OSC approved licenses in the you know, just in a not case by case, but just a grant for all those licenses, provided that the use of code under those licenses must follow certain fashion, certain practices, such as, you know, keep them in a separate folder, easily identifiable as external code, and maintaining all the original claims, so on and so forth. That's the log request number two. Number three is for license scans. Before each release, Linux Foundation does help us by scanning our repos for any license violations. However, their scanning only covers Apache 2 repos, not covering the open ORAN software licensed repos in our repo list. Those are identified with the with a SCP prefix, I'm sorry. So, you know, that leaves a gap, right? Who is to scan those repos? Also, the pre-release scanning is only done at the very end towards the release. So we're lucky we do not have those serious problems this bronze release, but going forward, we should identify any license risks as early as possible. So the proposal is for all the repos to adopt the Nexus IQ scan. Nexus IQ is a license and a security scanning tool that the Linux Foundation supports via a third party. It's really easy to include such scans. Basically, just define one more Jenkins job for your repo, and thanks to Chris Lott integration team, we have already provided documentation and the sample job setup. So we just need a TOC vote decision on having all the repos, all the code repos to add such Jenkins jobs, right? So this way we can, from the Nexus IQ interface, we can see what kind of license risks are there and react accordingly. Such scan is typically done on a periodic basis, probably once a week or so, but it should be able to catch the license risks much earlier than our current practice, which is waiting for the pre-release scan. That's vote request number three. Number four is for enforcing semantic versioning. This was part of the best practice, and we have been, all the repos, we have been following this quite well. Now, for moving forward, it is, we think it's necessary to really have more enforcement on the versioning, because we did see a couple isolated instances that the versions are not tagged following the assembler. Why it's important, having artifacts such as Docker images, they are tagged with the correct proper version tags. It's very critical if we want to do any automated integration test, which is what we are planning to. The integration team is planning to support in the cherry release. So that's why for this vote is for TOC to decision on enforcing semantic versioning. The work item following the approval vote will be that the integration team will work with the Linux Foundation release engineering to introduce a script for our checking all the version tags of artifacts, make sure that one, the format is proper, two, the version is advancing, and there's no conflict with already released artifacts. So those are the four vote requests. I understand we are run over, so we can probably take this vote to the email system if you all agree. All right, thank you.
Maybe one comment from me on the was it, the second item in the mail, the license where we allow automatic including of third party of our open source code under different license. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you said you checked that with LF lawyers, but I think on Nokia's side, we would like to check this still with on our side with legal, if okay. there's any kind of loophole with this. So one thing, for instance, would be including copyleft open source code into the repo, and yeah. what that means for the O1SC code. The other one would be including source code into the repo that normal when we would modify this source code, even in minor ways, under which license that modification would be. Because normally the repo is under Apache or the OSC license.
Right.
So there yeah, are some implications that are not kind of obvious, I think. And the current case by case approval by TOC gives a bit more control over this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So regarding that, right, current case by case is on both aspects. One is what license, what external license is being included. Two is what code includes external license, right? So we case by case really means both. So going forward, I think the ask is to drop the what code is using external license, right? But we can put on limits on what kind of external licenses are okay to use. Here, the original proposal as stated in the email is that we're using licenses that have been studied and declared open source okay by this open source OSI. That organization, right? They have their legal. So that's one possibility is, which is we just use licenses listed on that on that safe list, quote unquote. Another option, of course, is we just give such use permission to certain licenses, for example, MIT, for example, BSD. But not, for example, the EPL or some other licenses.
Yeah, we are already in overtime. I'm not sure how and when to discuss. I was thinking, for instance, that we talk about only Apache compatible licenses that can be included. Right. But then we have the same problem for this OSC or one SCP license. Specification code project license, how what compatible means for that one.
Okay.
So I think there are some legal aspects that we, at least on our side, would like to check more.
Yeah. So Jing, write that one up, but I don't think we'll take that one in email vote. Let's keep that one for further discussion, but we need more of a write-up. You know, to go through this one. So let's not do that one through email. Let's bring it back and discuss it more on the meetings. All right.
Understood. Thanks. Yep. We'll do that.
Anyone else have any questions or concerns?
Jack. Just one very quick update. I got the confirmation feedback from Zimmerman. The board has approved the request regarding the copyright.
Okay.
Okay. And I also sent out the virtual exhibition link via the email Reflect, just let you know.
Okay. So can you just, do you have a copy of the final approved wording?
Okay. I can find it out.
Yeah. If you send that to me and Farheen so that we can post the approved wording. I just, you know, and that way we'll have it covered. All right. So for the community, so that we'll review that, but that's been approved and in place for us to use ORAN copyrighted material as part of OSC. And once it's in OSC, downstream people are inherit that permission to use that copyrighted material. So if software is contributed to OSC and then pulled into ONAP or pulled into any place, they have permission to use that. I would caution that ONAP does not currently enjoy that privilege, not my issue, but as far as I know, they don't have that permission to use any copyrighted material, but probably an issue that they need to resolve and should be easy now that this has been, but if any downstream projects use code that's in OSC, they will inherit the copyright. I know that that was part of what we intended to approve, but we'll review that and we'll get that posted to the website. So, all right, with that, any other business before we close out the meeting for today? All right, well, thank you for staying late today. I know we ran some over, but good discussions, important discussions before we kick off, our cherry release. Lijing, are you having a follow-on meeting today?
The original plan was to implement plan for